see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Sorry, guys, I napped. I didn't mean to offend anyone. And then in the moment, she's like, Michael Jordan took naps.
Fact.
Abe Lincoln took naps.
Fact.
I take naps.
Why can't I take a nap?
Why can't I take a nap?
If Abe Lincoln takes a nap.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. Good morning, and welcome to our podcast, Alternative Medicine, where we talk about all the alternative medical facts affecting reality stars today, as well as, you know, people like you and like us.
There have never been more alternative facts surrounding specific people's health. For example, I've completely lost circulation in my hands.
She really needs to go to the hospital.
It's a serious medical issue.
But she's not giving up on the podcast, which I really respect. She really cares. She's here to do this.
For the right reasons, if you will. That's why I'm soldiering on, putting my numb hands at risk to discuss last night's episode of The Bachelor.
And we're joined by the lovely and wise Kayla Quinn, who has joined us here before. Thanks for coming back to the podcast, Kayla.
Thanks, Claire, for having me.
A kind of unusual episode of The Bachelor to discuss. I think maybe because it was set mostly in Nick's hometown that the whole tone of it felt a little different.
And there was the weird rose ceremony at the beginning, which I always kind of hate when they do eliminations at the beginning and then not at the end.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot more of that in recent seasons. But this was a classic. We had a big, what's the word I'm looking for? Cliffhanger. We had a big cliffhanger, as they call it in the literary industry. At the end of the last episode, Corinne was in the bouncy house with Nick at the pool party.
Straddling Nick at the pool
and
party.
And Vanessa had something to say about it.
She certainly did.
I really like her.
She's very eloquent, and she's not afraid to speak her mind. So good for her.
And I like that they replayed that great line that was like, I'm not judging Corinne, I'm judging you.
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you guys think about Nick's response to that whole conversation?
It felt like a very Bachelor answer.
Yeah.
It was like,
so
I totally respect, thank you for bringing this up to me. I respect like the fact that you had the courage to talk to me about this. Keep doing it. He didn't really answer a question or solve any problems or say what he thought about Corinne. He just was like very, you know, I'm not going to touch the subject, but you're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He was trying to affirm her while still being like, but I'm going to continue dry humping Corinne.
Yeah, he was like, here's the thing. Let's move past all the stuff about whether I should be nakedly dry humping people
in public.
Really focus on the fact that let's talk about you for a second, Vanessa. Yeah. You're great.
You're brave.
And then they clip to everybody saying, I'm going to go home if she's here another week, which of course
never
is,
happens.
No one ever goes home because someone they don't like stays.
That's like someone saying they're giving up like sweets for the year for their New Year's resolution or they're going to work out all year.
Yeah.
I gave up alcohol for January, but then
how's that going?
I'm drinking a lot as it happens.
Desperate times.
It's right as The Bachelor is premiering is a really bad time for me to give up wine. I don't know what I was thinking.
Especially when they sent us like 6 bottles of bachelor themed wine that we
setting
had to get
through. Setting yourself up for failure, guys.
Yeah, it wasn't a great idea. And also, it obviously Nick had to keep Corinne. Even if he didn't want to, yeah. I think he kind of did.
She's the most entertaining television personality.
And she is made
on this
for a 2-on-1.
She's actually made growing for a 2-on-1. I feel like. Because I think some of her actions are justified. I don't like how she comes across. I think it's a little aggressive, but
I think I look just, at Corinne and I see someone who is just very spoiled.
Right.
And that doesn't mean that she's evil.
Right.
I don't think she's a fundamentally bad villain.
Right. She's a villain that you can get behind because they're entertaining. And, you know, I look at her and I'm like, I'm not sure you're a person I would be best friends with in real life. Do I think you're a bad person? No.
She's not malicious in any way. She's not attacking anyone or calling them names.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's, you know, calling her like spoiled, which isn't a bad one.
I mean, I do think that she gets a little – she's like, I never call people anything. Taylor sucks. She's the worst. Now you're actually are doing that. You just don't see it when you're doing it.
She lacks a little bit in her moments, not really to the other girls. But
She did it with Josephine,
that's true.
Later, they were talking about how Corinne never talks shit about the other girls as they talked so much shit about Taylor.
Yeah, self-awareness is not, you know, Corinne's – most evident quality.
I think the thing that bothers me the most about Corinne is the way that she constantly initiates conflict with the other girls. Mm-hmm. And then when they engage with her, she is like, why are you attacking me? And
very
I'm
defensive.
Like, well, because you came to them and said, if you have a problem with me, let's talk about it now. And then they said, okay, here's our problem with you. And then she tears up and says, I don't understand why you're saying this.
Yeah.
Because you asked them to. So that was kind of the one thing throughout this whole episode that prevented me from really getting on Team Corinne. But
and you got to have a
she's
little conflict.
She's not a bad person.
You have to have conflict.
She's a very entertaining.
Or it would be very boring.
I have to say this entire episode, it was the most demure conflict I've ever seen in my life. I felt like they could have been at a tea party. You know, they're like,
oh, yeah.
They're saying like, you know, these are the things you need to work on, and
it's
I see that
true.
You're not acknowledging that, so we're going to end the conversation.
Yeah. It was like a DAR meeting on Gilmore Girls. Yeah.
I know I'm jumping ahead to
Emily.
Taylor at the end, but
still.
No,
you're right. And that was the main conflict of the episode, so I think it's fine for us to kind of skip around. But
and we do see – so in the rose ceremony, Corinne does get the last rose. So she gets the punishment rose.
Right.
That sends a signal that – that Liz got on the first episode before she went home. Yeah, the You're on Thin Ice Rose. And before that, Taylor and Sarah went to get Corinne, who was sleeping and maybe wasn't going to make the rose ceremony. And so they go kind of wake her up and sit on her bed and tell her directly, as she is always saying she wants, that girls are going to have a problem with her actions in the bouncy house, that it comes off as disrespectful and privileged. And Corinne says one of my favorite lines of the episode, I am not privileged in any way, shape, or form.
Except that she supposedly is inheriting a multi-million dollar company and also lives with her parents and also has a nanny.
I would want to phone a friend. We should all call Raquel, guys.
Yeah.
She's a real determining factor here.
I know. Maybe Raquel is actually, you know, not even her nan. Maybe she's just – Corinne is just doing it out of the goodness of her heart that she's letting Raquel
care for her every need.
Care for her.
She could be like an extended family member.
Yeah. She's like, I want to make my own cheesy pasta. I want to do my own laundry. But I can't because I'm doing this act of kindness for Raquel.
She's magnanimous.
She is.
Yeah.
And she worked so hard for that multi-million dollar company. When you're 24 and you have a multi-million dollar company that your dad also owned, there's only one conclusion, which is that you earned
it—the American dream.
Mm-hmm. Taylor, in the moment, was unable to maintain a straight face at that assertion, which I did not blame her.
You know,
for.
The funny thing about Taylor is I think she's just using her aggression against Corinne because she's kind of frustrated with her own relationship with Nick. Because we don't see a lot of them together. And maybe she sees other people kind of moving forward. But I think the fact that she keeps, you know, stirring this conflict is because she's bored. She's just a catty old woman in a house full of other women.
I mean, I do think that we saw in previous episodes that Taylor was very intent on staying out of conflict with Corinne. Mm-hmm. And now that maybe there is less contact between her and Nick and she's getting a little frustrated, it's harder for her to stay out. It's harder for her to focus on a relationship that doesn't really
exist. I also just feel like Taylor and Corinne are just two people whose personalities do not mesh.
Yeah, not at all.
Agreed. And,
right, which is they cast for that. They want at least some of it. I mean, these women overall are really nice to each other and they get along really well, all things considering. But this is a show. You need to have conflict. And, like, these are two younger women. You know, they're 23 and 24. And I think Taylor, she has good intentions, but she also sort of exploits the fact that she has had all of this communication training and at times comes off a little bit condescending. While I feel like I personally relate more to Taylor than I do to Corinne, I could see how her tone in certain situations could come off a little bit.
I do want to talk about that conversation when we get to it in detail, though, because I feel like it could be read in so many different
ways. That's true. Okay, yeah. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
So, rose ceremony. Who goes home? Kristen and Brittany.
Yeah.
Brittany, who we really hardly saw speak ever.
Yeah, I was so sad that Kristen went home, though. I really liked her.
Yeah. I liked her, too.
Aside that it looked like the fact that it looked like it was always raining. Like on her hair before she would get on camera. Other than that, I love everything she said, and she was someone people could confide in. And then she disappeared. I don't know why.
I have to say that I suspect it has something to do with the fact that Nick is very sexual and she is waiting for marriage.
Oh, that's it.
But it never came up. And I
wonder if they did talk about it and they just didn't choose to have that as a storyline.
Right.
I have to
that
wonder.
Was my suspicion. And someone tweeted that at me as well because. That seems like a big mismatch.
That would be a big gap in their individual needs in a long-term relationship.
I have to say,
I really like Kristen.
I've chatted with Nick before about sex, and he's like, everyone should just get it out of the way. You know, it's people make it like a bigger deal than it is. And so I think I could see him talking to her as a friend saying, like, you should just have sex. Today.
Yeah, I feel like they just have different philosophies, and it just wasn't a great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Brittany, we kind of saw coming. She was like having the tears way too soon into the rose ceremony.
She knew.
Yeah.
Also, we've just hardly seen her connect with Nick. I mean, she was the only thing we saw was that once she was half naked and looked amazing standing next to him.
I'm sure that really helped her get through to the next week. and props for that. But it wasn't happening. And
once you're this far in and we've hardly heard you speak, like, you're not going to go that far.
And she gets the chance here to say, you know, I always used to laugh at the girls who cried when they got sent home on the rose ceremony night. But now I'm here. I really understand. And I kind of like when they break the fourth wall like that.
Yeah.
Because the girls who are on the show now mostly have watched it for their whole lives. And a lot of them have had their opinions and have been in the seat that we're in now. And it's different when you're actually there. And it's part of the whole environment of the show. It's not just who the women themselves are. And that's important to keep an eye on. Although then she says, I've just been single for so long. And I was like, Brittany, you're a fetus. How is that possible? She looks so young.
She does.
Like, you're
if she was
be
single
okay.
her whole life,
you're gonna be
she
okay.
could not have been single for that long. Okay. And then Corinne.
Oh, another epic speech. If I was in the house, like, that would drive me insane.
Okay, so basically how it works at the end of the night, like, at the end of a rose ceremony, they hand everyone champagne. Of course, they do that classic. Everyone toast because we're all friends.
What time is it usually?
Yeah. It's usually, like, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. Everyone's really exhausted.
I don't even know if I'd want a glass of champagne at that point. I'd be like, I want a bed.
I feel like Corinne, with all due respect, always wants a glass of champagne.
Probably.
And
she should just get an IV.
When I was 24, I did too.
That's fair.
But basically at the end of the rose ceremony, they hand everyone champagne and they're like, okay. And then they call out names. You make a speech. Now you make a speech. And so she's probably one of like 6 or 7 girls that made a speech. And
And then so, they just choose one?
And I think they choose whatever is, like, convenient to the plot line. And hers was, of course, really awkward and drawn out and seemed really unprepared. And so they used that one.
Oh, my God.
Wait. I didn't realize that they did that. That's hilarious.
Because normally when they show up toast, it's someone just being like, to another week of getting to know Nick, wonderful future husband.
They're usually not several minutes long.
Right. And I think she really tried to think through that one, hoping they would edit, like, two words and saying, like, to Nick and I, and then but she just kept drawing it on, and I remember my season. I was like always want to be like I'll make a speech. I'd like raise my hand and make it first, and they're like, okay, Kayla, we get it. And they never used any of mine. They did more plot thickeners, but you know this one just seemed a little drawn out.
Yeah, she wanted to use her speech. I guess to send a message to the other women that she sees them, she knows. She's not a Dumbo. This comes up later as well. She knows they don't like her. And, of course, she does know because Taylor and Sarah just sat her down and told her that.
We also skipped over the fact that Corinne keeps saying things that are in the moments. Like, you do you, girl. I'ma do me.
Yeah. And I get to stay and make out with Nick for another week. Come and get it. She just says the most amazing things.
She wants to be a blow-up doll with a little button, little catchphrases. Yeah. And she's just trying out all these catchphrases till one sticks.
Oh, man. She would make a, like, that started out wrong. She would be a great model for, like, a character. Yeah. You know, she has all of these brand-ready catchphrases. Yeah. She could be an SNL character.
I'm honestly really surprised they haven't parodied her on SNL yet.
I know.
Like continued, guys.
Yeah, like if Lace got
more beer
the SNL treatment.
Yeah, I mean, I was with Olivia this morning, and she hung out with Corinne over the weekend.
Yeah, what?
So
did
she
you
was,
get to meet Corinne?
I didn't get to. She didn't reach out to me. But basically, I don't want to speak for Olivia, but what I gather is, you know, I don't know. I should say this.
We're like staring at Kayla.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I think she really enjoys this kind of attention. And you know, it sounds like she's playing this character.
She's having fun with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Not playing a character, but she knows what she's doing.
She's playing it up. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense based on what we've seen. And I have to respect that she is good at it.
Yes.
The words that come out of her mouth
are amazing. I would not be able to be as entertaining as she is. So
I can't be entertaining
props
on this podcast to that degree. And this is my job.
What's so funny is I feel like everyone's pretty much affirming how crazy she is. Or, like, every time, everywhere I read, everyone's like, I enjoy, she's entertaining in a good way.
I think it is refreshing after the last, like, the last two Bachelor franchise seasons we've had, the villain has been Chad.
Yeah.
And this is such
right, and before that, it was, you know, Olivia, which, as we know, felt very manipulated by edits and wasn't quite true to her personality. So this feels more back to the, like,
yeah, there's a lot of authentic,
entertaining Bachelor villain
produced material.
Yeah. Also, this entire season has felt very layered in terms of plot lines. I don't know about you, but you know, had the whole Liz factor, and then on top of that, like, you know, that whole wedding thing, and then this. It's not only Taylor who has an issue with her; it's like different people coming up. So it's like interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot in this episode too. I thought we saw some good connections forming and I want to talk about that. So let's talk about the dates. They go to Wisconsin. They go to Milwaukee, Nick's hometown.
And have you ever seen women anyone so excited?
I felt so bad. Chris
to
is
go
so
to Milwaukee.
Mean. He came in and said, "You are about
to travel the world.
Travel the world with Nick. You are going to Milwaukee." And they were already screaming with excitement. So they had to try so hard to maintain that level of enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Where was the first place you guys went once you left the mansion?
We went to Vegas first.
That's more fun.
Yeah.
Listen, Milwaukee is a beautiful city. It is a city.
I feel like
it is
that
one
was,
of the few cities in Wisconsin.
That was super edited. I feel like the producers were like, that wasn't a good reaction. Give us the two. So that was like a third take.
I think they would have been off the couch
if
they'd been going to Thailand or something. Right. So they all travel together. That gets a whole montage. Nick is in Milwaukee, meets with his parents. Mm-hmm.
His family, like, I just really have to – they are the MVPs.
Yeah.
They have had to do this so many times. Nick's mom just immediately teared up. I think she's like, please just find someone. Please make this the last time you do this to me.
She's like, I don't want to leave.
Chic.
Yeah. I was very confused by his dad, who looks way too young to be Nick's dad. And I
think
wasn't sure
good.
At first if he was
the
like
dad?
The dad. Really? I was like, who is this guy?
Someone tweeted that his mom is like 68. She looks amazing.
Yeah, she does. I mean,
she also had like a million kids, right?
Yeah, 11 kids.
That's a big family.
That's a lot of pregnancy.
Yeah. You know what they say? When you're pregnant, you like glow and you look younger.
She kept that going forever.
The fountain of youth. She's like, the key to life is get pregnant.
That's true. That's what
like,
they...
It's too many years of being pregnant for
or
me,
at least, like,
personally.
If you have, like, a lot of sex, it definitely gives you a glow as well.
That's true.
I wonder how many kids Nick wants to have.
Oh, God. They should all be asking that.
Yeah.
They should be like,
like,
I know
wait, just
what
to clarify.
My womb can handle. And so they say they hope he's never on the show again. I think everyone agrees on that.
They're pretty cute.
And then he greets the whole gang of girls, and he whisks Danielle away. She gets the first one-on-one. And they just sort of walk around.
It's very casual.
The town. Yeah, I really liked it. It felt very different tonally from most dates feel very produced. Like, obviously it was produced, but it didn't feel as produced.
Yeah. I mean, Nick just gave her the tour of all the places he's made out with other women.
Yeah.
He's basically, like, look, this patch of grass, I had sex there.
Yeah.
This library, don't worry, guys. I totally didn't do nerd things like study. I just made out with girls there.
There was a point where he was like, I hooked up in this field, but don't worry. It wasn't right here.
Right,
this
patch
of grass is fresh and clean for us. It is our special new place, virgin ground. There is one piece of land where I haven't filed with my previous romantic exploits.
The rest of it, though.
What you guys didn't see, though, is he actually has a map that he's laid out that has all his points.
It's square by square.
Yes, so that Danielle L. can take notes. And later there's going to be a pop quiz.
Oh, God. Little, like, condoms, like, pinned
and
on.
And then to, you know, the whole climax of the thing is he met his ex, you know?
Just by complete random chance.
What? Yeah. You're here? In my hometown?
So crazy. Why do you have a microphone on? This is so convenient.
Let's talk about how amazing I am. How good was I for 3 months?
Also, for the ex to sit down and be like, so, Danielle, do you have any burning questions or concerns?
And
what are your feelings?
The question and answer that came out sounded so much like word salad that I couldn't really process what it was.
Yeah,
Danielle
I have no idea.
Asked something, and then the ex said something about Nick being heart driven. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Danielle
I
was like, that was really good to
leading
hear.
Leading up to that as well.
Yeah. What happened? I don't know, but apparently.
Apparently it was positive.
It was good. And we know that Nick is good friends with his exes, which is apparently why he has so many female friends. So it ended
Nick
up being
also
a positive
starts
experience.
Off by sitting, you know, like a triangle with both of them and turning to his ex and being like, you look really good. I'm like, Nick,
yeah,
what
like
are
really
you doing?
Good.
He's warming her up. He's like, don't say anything bad about me. This is a compliment. Yeah. Stay on my side.
Remember when we broke up because I said you're getting fat? Don't think about that right now. You look great now. She was married, right? I saw
Take note.
Yeah.
Probably. They probably found a married ex that was willing to
Who'd only dated him for 3 months.
Yeah.
But not Caitlin.
But also on the date, I just have to note, they did that whole cookie decorating, which was so cute.
Yeah.
But I was really sad that they, like, smushed them together. If I spent all that time, like, making
putting
this masterpiece.
I know. She was
like,
oh, we're doing
a
cute thing now where they're talking to each other. And then he was like, no, they're having cookie sex. They're, like, getting sloppy. And she was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. She's like, oh.
There goes my labored over decoration.
Last 2 hours.
He's gone. Cute, nervous laugh.
Well, it was really just an excuse to get messy so they could, like, lick frosting off each other.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they have their evening date at a bar with other people in it.
It was so noisy, right?
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Really?
Because normally bachelor dates are so sterile.
A weird, empty room.
Yeah, I get that.
And it feels like no dating environment you've ever actually been on.
Wasn't there another season where... Was it Ben's season where like they there was some after date with like the lead's friends and they went to a bar.
Yeah, I think that was Ben. And also Chris, I think that happened with Chris.
With Whitney.
Oh, yeah. Like that, I kind of like when they do that.
Yeah, you get a better sense of a more natural feeling about a date.
I bet you it's way easier to film, too. You don't feel like everyone's staring at you.
Exactly. Yeah. I always feel like it's presented as these fantasy dates.
Right.
And it actually seems like a nightmare. Like, you're alone in this
cavernous room.
And everyone's staring at you.
I must say, though, like, Raven's date where they were in the museum alone, like, I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker for that. Where it feels like a little special.
I'm more horrified by the fact that Danielle L. had to endure two public on a stage serenades and makeout sessions in front of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
She took it well.
Well, he was like, she handled it well the first time, so I'm going to give her the secret concert date.
She probably got there and was like, again? I already did this with the Backstreet Boys.
Danielle.
You can't top the Backstreet Boys.
I really like Danielle this episode because I haven't really seen her develop as a character, and she really shared the fact that, you know, her parents are divorced and that has affected her, and that she's a little more guarded. And I think his reaction was really telling that they, you know, have a connection.
Yeah.
He's very flirtation. He pulled her in.
Oh, he's into her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely saw a lot of chemistry between them. And I've had my eye on Danielle from the start because she reminds me so much of Andy Dorfman visually. Like, she has that, like, long, dark hair and that perfect-looking heart-shaped face. And she just has that bounce and energy.
Also, she was the first out of the limo. And they usually put someone first out that they think the lead will connect with.
And he's definitely drawn to her. I think it'll be interesting to see if it ends up going past that.
Right.
But you could see a lot of chemistry going on. And I did think it was interesting that she said that she didn't want to rush into marriage because of her parents' divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Because The Bachelor is just pretty much only about rushing into marriage.
Yeah.
I don't want to judge her too harshly for that because I know they could have edited out a very rational explanation. But I thought that was a little bit odd. No, I mean,
yeah. I mean, she's optimistic. She's hopeful. She's like, maybe this will be. Well, I mean, just because you get engaged doesn't mean you're going to get married.
That's true.
It's just about making that connection.
I also feel like you were saying, that these women have grown up now watching the show probably a lot. And I feel like the engagement, because it's part of the ceremony of the show, is just treated as like, and now we're going to date.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Except unless you have a TV wedding 6 months later.
You know, at least she didn't go, like, take it too far in the cliche Bachelor phrase where she's like, I think he's the one, you know.
I'm already falling in love with him.
Exactly. Yeah, it's date one. So she didn't go that way, which is good.
I can definitely see how it would be really, like, unsettling to see your parents have what seemed like a great romance. And then one day your dad is like, actually, I'm over this. That would terrify me.
I also liked, though, that Nick, when she said, like, she referred to her parents' divorce as a flaw, and his response was just like, wait, you think that's a flaw? And I thought that was great, because I think that often on this show, divorce is treated as like a moral failing, because it's something that I guess somewhat like any breakup flies in the face of the premise of like finding someone and staying together, which is the arc of the show, even though we know like people break up all the time that meet on this show.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that, you know, a lot of people are divorced. It's not.
Yeah.
It's just a fact of life.
A hereditary thing. It's like, oh, like, your parents are still together. Cool. I'd like to be together forever, too.
That means you are, I don't know, going to be better at having a relationship.
It's weird. We kind of saw both sides of the divorce conversation, because she sort of says, I think of divorce as a flaw that my parents are divorced. And then later Raven says, you know, I think it's cool that our parents are both still together. Not many people can say that. And I was like, well, a lot of people can say that. It's not like only 2% of people are still married by the time their kids are grown up. Like, still a pretty solid percentage.
Solid block.
It also doesn't – it's not an indicator of a connection.
No.
Right.
Oh, you know, your parents are still together. It means we're going to, like, make a match.
Exactly.
I met this great guy. Our parents have the same relationship status. Yeah.
So I think it's going to go far.
Oh, also, we have to talk about how the country singer at the concert looked exactly like Nick.
Yeah.
It was weird. They had the same haircut. They had the same beard. They were wearing the same style of jacket in a similar color. Mm-hmm. What the hell was happening?
How did the heck did you notice that?
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Because they cut to the singer and the hairstyle and the beard was so noticeable. And then I was like, wait, the jacket is really similar.
They like twins on the show.
Yeah.
Now they're like, which one are you going to pick?
As we know.
Yeah. I think she should have considered just getting to know a different guy. You know, you can't just go for the one who's right in front of you.
Ultimate test.
So we're going to take a quick break now, but stick around. When we get back, we'll have even more with Kayla. Stay with us. If you, like the two of us, are just always desperate to bring more coziness into your life, may we suggest Barefoot Dreams, especially now because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
I mean, there's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
If there's anything I trust more than Oprah's favorite things list, it's 6 of Oprah's favorite things list. I mean, come on. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make perfect gifts too.
I'm a huge fan of just swaddling myself in a big cozy robe. So I know, Emma, I'm very excited for the Barefoot Dreams robe that is heading my way right now. I was so excited to pick it out and I'm so excited to try it on. Like the perfect cozy robe.
I'm so excited too.
Oh my God, it's going to change my life, I think.
We'll just be swaddling ourselves in coziness 100% of the time. And I think we can all agree that like that is the lifestyle which we deserve and to which we aspire. Thank you, Barefoot Dreams.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck. Article. Our big console. article. My bed frame article. This is an article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Before we get back to the show, have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
Okay, now back to the show.
So then we get to what I believe is really the heart of this episode. The group date on
Say
a farm.
Cheese. Let's milk
Say
it,
cheese.
Guys.
I know. Oh, I was sad they didn't have them wearing cheese hats while on this date. Like, if you're going to go full Wisconsin dairy farm, really go for it.
They couldn't wear designer on the farm, Emma. No white jeans. And then they point to the girl with white jeans.
I know. Why would you wear white jeans if you were specifically told not to wear white jeans? That bothered me so much. It's like you were given one guideline. Don't wear white pants.
That's true.
And you wore white pants.
And now you have poopy all over them.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so this group date is Vanessa, Rachel, Alexis, Jamie, Jasmine, Whitney, Sarah, Astrid, Christina, Taylor, Josephine, Danielle M., and Corinne, which leaves Raven with the last one-on-one. Yes. And Raven is just giddy, both because she gets the one-on-one, but equally because Corinne does not.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy Raven's slight pettiness over that. I thought it was kind of entertaining.
Raven is interesting to me because I'm liking her more as we're seeing a little bit
me
of
too.
Her spunk, but I'm also liking her less because I'm seeing a little bit of like more classic
judgment there.
Like a little more girl on girl traditional rivalry. Like he's my man and like I don't want her to have him sort of attitude.
It seemed Corinne specific, but yeah.
But it comes out a little bit in her one-on-one too, which we'll get to later. Okay. So
They go on to the date, and it's at a dairy farm.
And Corinne is not pleased because she would much rather be at a spa being fed a chicken taco, which, like, I suppose I, too, would like to be fed tacos at a spa over being on a farm.
Honestly,
although I've never been to a spa where tacos were
available.
I just don't
think that would produce a very interesting dynamic for reality television.
If sitting at a spa
Today's date is, they're all just going to sit here
it's
being
called
massaged.
Paradise.
That's true.
That is very true.
Yeah, were there tacos on Paradise?
Oh, unlimited tacos, guys. Oh, they had taco tubs.
Just continues to affirm my belief that Paradise is the better deal.
But there's no air conditioning.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, Corinne, she's, you know, had multi-million dollar businesses before, so I think a taco spa could have potential.
That I agree.
Yeah, she's like, look, Dad, I know we have a flooring company, but I have a new idea.
Yes.
It's a taco spa.
I bet he would love it if he could just give her
Connor, yeah, like, do this project, sweetie.
Yeah, let's get you a little, like, a little business space.
Raquel will be your business manager. And let's see how that goes.
Forget the seaweed wrap, crunch wrap supremes, Taco Bell over here.
Just gets her a Taco Bell franchise and then has her put in a massage chair.
Oh, my God.
But then her hands were cold, so hopefully they have hand massages at the
to
spa as well.
Circulation.
You guys,
yeah,
I'm excited for the
concerns here.
I'm excited for, like, the People Mag reveal that she has Raynaud's that routinely sends her to the hospital, which, you know—
I was honestly surprised that they didn't milk this to the extent where they, like, sent the
medic.
Yeah, I feel like that happens, like, once a season.
If the medic doesn't even come, you were not almost hospitalized on The Bachelor. They are so ready to send in the medic.
Her clearly just being like, my hands don't feel great. I'm tired. I don't like this. I'm going to go sit out. To, like, I had a very serious medical condition, and I almost died, and I had to go to the ER.
I can't believe you're upset with me. I almost went to the hospital.
What I do appreciate is Nick didn't really play into that whole attention-seeking, you know, I'm going to sit on this rock dramatically alone moment.
That's true. Yeah. You usually would see a moment where they were like, are you okay? And then the girls get angry. It was sort of just like, oh, Corinne's being Corinne.
Right. Yeah. And instead they pan to him, like, hugging some girl we haven't seen at all until today.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
Who was it?
Who was that one tall, skinny girl?
Josephine?
Whitney?
No. Astrid.
Astrid.
Whitney?
It was Astrid. Yeah.
Astrid and Whitney look a lot alike.
They do.
And they're both tall and have dark hair and have not spoken.
Yeah.
I did really appreciate that because you see him sort of note that she's left and the girls say, yeah, she just took off. She didn't want to do it. And he's sort of like, okay.
Right. She left during the
he just notes
the
poop
shoveling
it
segment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She doesn't want to shovel poopy. She doesn't want to. It reminded me of when there was that girl, Trina or something, and she said in her questionnaire that her biggest fear was getting DD on a date.
Like, I have
diarrhea.
No memory of this.
And she didn't make it into the season at all. I was so disappointed because I hoped that we would hear a little bit of that. And now we're getting Corinne saying poopy. And it's so weird and exciting. Because, like, it just feels – it's so infantile. Like, it's exactly how you'd expect a 24-year-old with a nanny to talk.
Yeah.
Like, she can't even say poop.
I mean, she – and she couldn't handle the flies. She couldn't handle milking of cows.
She can't handle farm chores.
No.
She can't even – she doesn't know how to do any chores. That was an astounding line.
My thing is, like, this is the experience where you overcome fears and you try new things. And even though, like, it's, like, against your morals, why not try it once? And I don't know. She was standing firm. She wasn't going to touch it.
I mean, that could have been kind of fun to learn how to milk a cow.
She was saying,
what that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and it really gives him some insight into, you know, your dexterity.
Right. Who likes to touch an udder?
Exactly.
Yeah. Jamie went for it.
Yeah.
She
did
really
a great
well.
Job. And Nick, of course, is like, why am I not surprised? And I was like, I don't know. It looks more like a penis to me. But the thing, like,
so true.
This is clearly the date that is maybe seems a little demeaning, but the point is you're only going to know these girls for a couple months. You really have to shove them out of their comfort zone so that you can get that sense of what they're like in an adverse situation.
Also, you just have fun with it. You know, you had Jasmine, who also, like, is not into, you know, doesn't spend a lot of time on farms. She was like, this is not really my speed, but, like,
Jasmine
and
Josephine
fun.
Were wearing white.
They
kept
shoveling. Still shoveling literal shit.
Yeah, because what you're demonstrating in that moment is I'm going to be
a good sport about it.
A good sport in rough situations.
I love this episode, too, or this date, because also, like, it was an opportunity to get girls' hands and, like, get girls' hands in, like, dirty and messy, and to distract them from making out with Nick. Because every other episode, it's like, let's make out in front of each other and make each other jealous. This one is like, no, you can't, because you have something to do. Get to work.
Yeah. And also, why would you want to associate making out with the redolent smell of cow poop?
Cow poop.
Yeah, Corinne had some great quirks,
your season, that wasn't really a thing, like making out in front of...
Not well, once.
Ben is... Did anyone listen to Ben on Juliet Littman's The Ringer podcast? He was great, but his biggest criticism of Nick was that very thing.
Yeah.
The making out. He was like, I just would never have done that, and I don't see how the women are staying around and, like, okay seeing that.
I mean,
which just showed to me the very large difference in approach to sex between the two of them, also, or like anything sexual.
I also think it's interesting. A lot of times we'll see the women sort of start kissing Nick, and he'll be sort of like, what? The women are right there. But like, I'm not going to, like, okay.
You can see his thought process in his eyes.
Go with the flow.
Like, the women know that sexuality is a way to
connect
with Nick. And so they use it, understandably.
Yeah, each season is a different theme and it has a different tone. And, you know, Chris Soules is like the all-American country boy. Then we have Ben, the boy next door, who's, you know, attracts a certain type of woman that it's doesn't make out in front of other women. And then you have Nick, who's the very sexual one. So it kind of feels like a series of novels, and we're getting dirty now.
Yeah. Literally.
Very dirty.
Figuratively.
But I loved how the little monologue that Corinne went on, where she pointed out that that Raquel, she wouldn't even let Raquel do farm chores because she's better than farm chores. She works for me.
Oh, my
she's
gosh.
She's better than farm chores, but not, like, Corinne's personal chores.
Right.
She's too good to be around flies, but she's just good enough to do Corinne's laundry.
Right. And to make Corinne's bed and to slice and Corinne's
pasta. Clear distinction here, guys. She's like an elite member
chore
of the
doer.
Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She does
special set
there
of skills.
There are farm chores and there are chores. Just like there's clan dancing and there's dancing. And
yes.
They're totally
and
different.
And there's pasta and there's cheese pasta.
Yeah. Some people.
Not to be confused with mac and cheese.
Some people do chores and some people do farm chores. Totally different groups. Some people do dancing. Some people do plan dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally different groups. Corinne can only do dancing. She can't do plan dancing. That's just how it goes.
So then we get to the nighttime portion of the date, which again is predominantly centered around Corinne and her conflict with the other women. We have little snippets. Christina and Nick have kind of a nice connection, although she starts to be like, I want to have
amazing.
The time to tell you about my younger life and how difficult it was. And Nick is like, I do want to hear that. We don't have a lot of time right now.
And then he just talks for a long time about how much he looks forward to hearing it. And then they make out. And I was like, but you could have made a lot of progress.
Right.
That
we could
time.
Have gotten really gotten into this conversation.
The funny thing is like that cocktail hour, you literally have 2 minutes with him. And so he didn't want to get deep. I'm like a certain. And then he wanted to affirm her in some way. And so he's like, we're going to end this with a makeout on a high note.
Yeah. I do think that giving her the rose, spoiler, was a way to really validate that he actually wants to have that conversation, was a way to say, like, even though I didn't dedicate the time to that tonight, I want to keep you around and I want to get into that. So that was nice. And Christina really popped this episode, you guys.
I agree. She is A+.
I'm, like, in love with her. Also, Vanessa and Nick have a really sweet moment.
Yeah,
she has a scrapbook
Vanessa's
made by her students.
Made a book for
And she
Nick.
And Nick seem very natural together. Like, while he was reading the scrapbook, she sort of let her head fall on his shoulder. And
they seem very intimate and comfortable with each other.
And yeah, and also, it didn't feel like there was an agenda to their conversation. Like, with Christina, Christina was like, I want to tell you about my childhood. There's about 8 things on the list. Can we cross any of them off today? And Vanessa's kind of like, let me nestle on your shoulder and have, like, you know, I have something for you.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely much further along in their relationship than a lot of the other women. Corinne, in her In the Moments, appears intoxicated.
Shocker.
She is talking about corn.
She's corn. Yes. To be clear.
She is corn, and she, you have to peel off the husks, but inside there are sweet, juicy, buttery yellow kernels, and Nick wants them.
Nick she knows needs it. Them.
He needs yes. them
so bad.
He
does
so
not
bad.
Just want them. He needs that corn.
Yes. So what this is leading up to is that the other women in the group are just seeing the husk. They mm-hmm. aren't seeing the juicy, juicy, sweet kernels inside Corinne's husk. So she decides to confront the other women, who she's realized, because she's very smart, and also they told her that they don't care for her behavior and they're not welcoming her. So she sits
says
down with them and she says, yeah, I haven't been feeling welcomed recently.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, so come to me. Do. Tell me what your problem is.
And Sarah asks, do you actually genuinely think you're ready to marry a 36-year-old man?
Great question.
It's a solid, yes. fair question.
And she was coming from, like, a non-accusatory place. She was, like, genuinely quite, like, curious. Yeah.
I think it's very hard to maintain equanimity in a conversation with someone like Corinne, who just flies off the handle and talks very rapidly mm-hmm. in response to anything you say. Like, I've had those conversations where you're saying something very calm and that you think is very measured and neutral, and then the response is so strong and so accusatory and so much that it's stunning and you can't really navigate a conversation with it.
I also liked that from the entire exchange, the only thing that Corinne took away was that they criticized her nap.
Oh,
whereas
yeah.
that was sort of an aside, an example oh Sarah was giving.
So
she then said, sorry, guys, I napped. I didn't mean to offend anyone. And then in the moment, she's like, Michael Jordan took naps.
Fact.
Abe Lincoln took naps.
Fact.
I take naps.
Why can't I take a nap?
Why can't I take a nap?
If Abe Lincoln takes a nap,
you guys, that's a kernel of knowledge for you. You didn't yeah. know that these people took naps, I mean, but now you do.
I golden kernels we just, can just pluck from
if
Corinne's
I were just to think
cob.
Of any two people off the top of my head that seem most similar to Corinne, I would say Abraham Lincoln.
And most likely to
Michael
take
Jordan.
Naps. Someone yeah. updated Wikipedia to add.
I know.
to add that Michael Jordan, Abraham Lincoln, and Corinne are famous nappers in history.
That's really funny.
That's really funny.
I have to think that she just made that up out of thin air in the moment, but it was so specific.
I know.
Yeah.
Why is that where your
she's
head
been
goes?
You guys, she's been questioned before about her napping.
Definitely.
She's been yes. Googling.
Yes.
Who takes a nap in history?
I mean, I take naps, and I've been questioned before about my napping, and I'm just like, you know,
Sometimes I get tired.
I take naps.
She's a beautiful napper, though, I must say. I've just had flashbacks to Sleeping Beauty back in the day every time I see her taking a nap. So
yeah. And sometimes
with the snoring
I just
put
yeah.
over.
Dubbed over, yeah. Sometimes Greg takes pictures of me when I'm napping, and he thinks it's adorable, and I look at it, and I'm like, no
is
one
horrifying.
Is ever seeing that. There's like my mouth is open. There's drool coming out. My hair is sort of in a weird,
yeah.
messy shape. And you can see that I haven't gotten my roots done. She does not look like that. She looks very,
very put together.
Yeah.
Like she laid down
with her rose right next to her.
Yeah. With her rose
as
next
her
to
pillow.
Yeah.
Rose petal pillow.
Arms, yeah. Rose nestled
and
in.
She said, if I were found like this by, you know, a camera, I would be fine with that.
Yeah.
And then she just gently goes to sleep.
Then Christina tries to kindly confront Corinne.
I loved this conversation.
Me too.
So much. So Christina tries to approach it with a lot of empathy and warmth.
She says, I've been defending you. I care about you.
Yeah, she says she's worried that Corinne might not be able to handle all the pressure that comes with the process and with possibly being Nick's partner, because so early on in the process in the house, she's getting very rattled. And Corinne does not respond well to this, ironically.
Yeah. No, she responds by asserting that she had a serious medical condition.
Yeah. And they have this amazing exchange because Corinne has been asserting that she has a serious medical problem. She almost went to the hospital, and she tries this on Christina. And Christina just looks her dead in the eye and very calmly says, "I'm not stupid, Corinne."
Yeah, it was so good.
Died. Corinne did not care for that. But Christina sort of says, you know, "I'm being direct and you're choosing to hide, and we can have a real conversation, but you need to be honest."
So to that, Corinne hides and goes to
talk to Nick. Says, "We're not going to have this conversation anymore. We're done."
But then she does have, you know, like more of an adult convo with Nick. Because, it's like an adult convo.
Yeah, she doesn't think it went well because they didn't kiss at the end.
Yeah, she was really sad about it.
Yeah.
But she was very mature because she told Nick that she addressed her issues with the girls head on. And he's just very impressed. And that means it's an adult convo. I call all of my deep, serious exchanges adult convos.
Yeah. Yeah. If whenever I don't
this is
make
really
out,
an adult convo.
It is, because we're not making
this,
out.
Or is this more of like a,
true.
You know, a transitional into adulthood convo?
I don't know. It's either an adult conversation or it's like some catty bullshit, because we are all women. So
yes.
It could be one of the two.
You never know.
I thought, what was your take on how Nick received this conversation? Because I thought it was a really weird approach. As clearly the unpopular woman in the house, you can't be that and also the girl who complains about the drama. She sort of decides to thread the needle by venting to him while bragging that she handled it really well and that she was direct. And so she just gives basically a little speech about how there's been this drama, but she handled it. She went to them directly, and now she feels so much better.
Yeah.
And Nick is sort of like, great.
He's like, great.
Well, that's great that
that's
you
so
did that.
Great. I also feel like he's someone who had a lot of conflict with mm-hmm. the other guys on the seasons he was on. So he has maybe even too much empathy for that problem when, like, it's not the same dynamic mm-hmm. as his seasons, and he sort yeah. of forgives a lot of conflict between women because he himself had conflict.
I think he's also heeding Vanessa's warning. It's probably like in the back of his mind, like, stay away from Corinne. And so you could see the body language. He was like 3 feet away, you know, yeah. he didn't get close yeah. to her. And I think he knows, like, he needs to kind of tone it down with her. And then in the same—
No dry humping.
Right, exactly. Even though he might be tempted.
Yeah.
Calm it down. Yeah. But also in the same note for that you said, like, he's done this past seasons and he knows that whenever you talk about other women in a conversation, it doesn't propel your own relationship. And he's gotten so far in the past because every moment he had with either Andy or Caitlin, he used to the most. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
That's true. Even and when so, he had conflict with the other guys,
he never
didn't
brought
talk
it up.
About it.
Right. Yeah. And so Corinne's yeah. bringing it up. So he's like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like putting her in a distance.
So I guess he's like, great job, and sort of dismissing it
right.
and moving on.
Yeah.
It's kind of smart.
It seemed, yeah, exactly. It seemed like he was sympathetic to her feeling, but kind of didn't want to talk about it
yeah.
and wanted to kind of give her the kudos she was looking for so
and
they
move
could
it
move
along.
On.
And then he gives Christina the group date rose, which I was really happy
yeah.
about.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to move on to Raven's one-on-one.
Yes.
Raven was really growing on me.
Yeah.
Except for that. I guess we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
So they take Nick takes Raven to his sister Bella's soccer game. Bella's 11. Remember when we met Bella and she was like a baby?
A child. A very small child.
She's grown up with Bachelor Nation.
She's really great on camera.
She is.
She, like, does not even notice the camera. She's so natural. I'm like, I would watch a show all about Bella.
Yeah.
She's going to be the Bachelorette one day.
We're going to see her grow up.
Yeah.
I think she's going to be like, I refuse to go through what I've seen my brother go
through.
Well,
it depends. If he marries Vanessa and they have 4 beautiful children, maybe she'll
That's
go
true.
For it. But she
–
I was kind of a
player.
Little bit uncomfortable with how much they relied on Bella because she is so young. And I love watching her, but – I was like, wow, this is a really young girl that they're having act as her brother's matchmaker in a way.
Yeah.
And that kind
of— I think she's mature beyond her years.
She is. And they do use her, because she humanizes Nick so much. They have a beautiful relationship. And I kept watching it and I was like, I wish that my older brother was like 26 years older than me, you know? Like, they seem so close.
America really does love them.
Yeah.
As a family.
Yeah. It's so cute.
Also, it weirded me out that Nick was referring to Raven as like one of the important ladies in his life. Like, my mom, my sister, and like this girl I met 2 weeks ago.
Well, if they get engaged in 3 weeks, then it will have turned out to be right.
Okay.
He did choose her to meet his parents, who were at the soccer game.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty early for a parent meeting.
Yeah,
too.
Really telling.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like their interaction was pretty good. She seemed super nervous at first. She wasn't making eye contact with parents.
I would be nervous.
Yeah.
I've known this guy for not that long. You're on, you know, you're being filmed and you're meeting his family. Yeah.
I felt for her meeting Bella too, because I am so nervous around kids.
She was really good with Bella. Yeah. Actually.
Yeah. I think when they first met, she didn't do the Hallmark, like, I'm good with kids sort of reaction. And I had a little twinge of, like, that's how I would act. I would be like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. You're a much younger human than I am. But she was great with Bella, and they had a great conversation later.
Especially, during the roller skating, I thought it was really sweet. She and Bella just sit and chat. And I loved that Bella wasn't allowed to watch Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
That was so cute.
And I love that Nick was doing, like, roller skating tricks in the background. They did not notice.
I know.
Someone made a really good gif of just a moment of Nick, like,
flying
by and Bella and Raven not reacting at all.
Bella really liked Raven. We also learned that Raven was named Raven in part because her hair is black. That was just a little much for me. I was like, this feels too fictional. I can't.
And Bella wants another sister-in-law, so.
Yeah.
Opposed to a brother-in-law.
Well, you never know, Nick. It's never too late, you know, to be your real self. Finally, Raven and Nick get to romantically roller skate together and do some tricks
and
kiss
make out.
This was a real throwback.
Yeah,
I feel like it brought everyone back to like high school. This was like a high school romance.
I used to go to the roller rink in middle school, and it was like a real thing. And then did anyone go to roller rinks where they would have like, now you have to pair off, and now you have to like skate backwards, and like they would change the screens to different little prompts.
They would put like really good music on, and you'd like see other people's moves from across the rink.
I know. I feel like I used to be pretty good at roller skating, and now I would just like probably fall on my face.
Yeah, I would like to do that now. I want to go back and reenact all those dates that I never got to go on in high school because no one wanted to go out with me. And like, I'm going to make Greg do all those things with me and have that beautiful feeling of like, I'm just a teenager in love.
You'll go,
but I'm 28.
Like filled with children, and you'll be like,
don't touch
skating
me.
Into awkward 11-year-olds.
Yeah, when do you go when it's mostly empty and there are cameras? I need that to happen.
Well, I think you should pitch yourself to ABC.
I know. I'm already engaged.
After the final rose.
And I've never been on TV before. I'm not photogenic. And then they have dinner at the Milwaukee Art Museum.
That was cool.
It was.
Adding it to my bucket list.
Very empty.
Snazzy date. Yeah.
But it was beautiful.
It was mood lit. And it was kind of like, okay, you've made it through like a lot today.
Yeah.
Let me treat you to something very
special.
It's just
unfortunate that they can never actually eat on that portion of the date.
Right.
They feed you beforehand, right?
They do feed you beforehand. And that part of the day, it's probably like 9 or 10 p.m.
So you would have already wanted to eat dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were still prepping up to that point.
So you're just sitting there at a dinner table in the middle of a giant – no, it sounds really fun. And then they have the – so he's sort of like – so you caught your ex cheating. Tell me about it.
It was such a weird reaction. He was like getting off on this story. He was like, what happened next? Like, it was such a.
He was bright red.
It was so funny. It was such a bizarre reaction to like, you had this trauma. Tell me about it.
I guarantee you,
on my life that that's how she got on the show. She, they were like asking in the interview process. So it's like, tell us about one of your exes.
And she's like, and I she told the story out of my
And God. The producers were like, we need you to talk about this.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh.
It was very weird how like, I was like, this is a sort of disturbing story because
it was disturbing.
A, like the cheating is really upsetting.
And it was very graphically told.
You beat the shit out of your significant other and apparently maybe the woman that was with him. Like,
why would you ever want to see that too? Like, I would never want to catch my ex.
Like,
I'd be like, you guys end it and like, we're done. I'm like above that. But she wanted to like have that image.
Yeah, and now we all have that image of the woman's vagina and thrusting. We heard the word thrusting. I never want to hear that word on The Bachelor ever again.
Yeah.
It was so upsetting. She described the position they were in, their level of nudity.
Butt naked.
The heel.
And there was a stiletto that was used as a weapon.
It's not okay to beat people up because of anything. Like, because they cheated on you.
I appreciate that you might have a rage-filled reaction in the moment. But it was just a very – the tone of the story was a little
I was
odd.
Uncomfortable with the, like, go-girl sort of reaction to it.
Yeah. And I have to comment on, like, Nick's mannerisms that whole conversation because he could not make eye contact with her.
Yeah.
He was, like, really distracted. And he does that a lot. And I don't – I think they couldn't edit it out this time.
Yeah, I think that usually you can tell when he has a very hard time connecting with someone because he can't, like, look at them when they're talking.
But he did seem a little to her earlier. And he was – I mean, I texted you as this was happening. I was like, why is Nick getting off on this story? He's like
– Yeah.
It was weird. Like, he seemed afraid and also
– Turned on. Which and probably both were true.
I don't want to see, you know, it was just.
And then they had kind of a nice conversation where, you know, Nick was saying he's never cheated on anyone. And Raven was like, if someone doesn't value me, they're not worth my time. And that part is like, okay, I can get very on board with that.
I like that they had a sort of genuine seeming follow up to it where she was talking about how she had a hard time telling people that she was cheated on and she didn't know why. And he was like, oh, well, I've been cheated on. It's because you're embarrassed and ashamed and you feel like you did something wrong.
Moment.
And normally when you have these conversations, there's just a lot of cliche, like, you're great and thank you for telling me that. And it's nice when they actually dig in a little bit and have a real conversation. So that was kind of cool. She gets the rose.
Yes, and no private serenade.
Cue romantic skating through the museum alone.
Oh, my God.
Which was a fantasy. And I'm still singing that song in my head. Kiss me. Yeah.
That was a good one.
I love that song.
Felt like part of a movie. I like
that. That song throwback. Is in a lot of movies.
A lot of it felt like a movie in the way that they were setting dates in more natural settings with other people in them. There was background noise that felt like natural background noise. And the soundtrack felt like classic film. And I loved that.
Yeah,
it felt so different.
Okay, we got to get to the cocktail party and the Taylor and Corinne drama because our producer is signaling that, like, you know, we can't talk forever.
Yeah,
we can.
So, yeah, unfortunately, because as everyone who listens to our podcast
knows, but
we
may not.
We all could talk forever.
Yeah. So Taylor is determined to steal Nick first to sort of – because I think she feels the conflict with Corinne brewing and she sort of wants to talk to Nick before.
But Danielle swoops in.
Danielle swoops in. She knows she has the rose. She's like, don't worry, I'm going to bring him right back and then you guys can have him. And
the
I was like, well, why did
all
you
of
steal
their
him
faces.
First?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Danielle. But I understood why Taylor was annoyed.
I also just think if you've watched the show, you know that being someone who already has a rose when there's a lot of people left and taking the lead, like, that is a way to get other people pissed off at you.
Yeah. I mean, she wants to stand out in front of Nick, but she's already stood out. So why are you doing that?
Yeah, like you definitely still want time. Like I would never say you don't want time with him because you have a rose, but
no, but maybe not first.
Maybe not first, but you know,
whatever. She goes for it.
She's prioritizing their relationship, and then Taylor decides to prioritize their relationship. So she goes
by standing uncomfortably over Danielle's shoulder.
She wasn't quite assertive enough in that moment.
No, she just stood there, and Danielle didn't even realize she was there, so she kept
watching.
Talking, and she was just watching them.
Nick knew she was there. Yeah. I was like, Nick, say something. Yeah. Oh, no, my God.
Nick's kind of awkward in these situations, so he's like, no, Danielle, you finish up, and then I'll address.
But then she just kept finishing up for a very long time.
It was very awkward.
So finally, Taylor sits down, has this conversation. Meanwhile,
so it was interesting to me that this was the thing that set Corinne off, that Taylor was upset at Danielle.
That is
that
weird.
Made Corinne. She's like, Taylor's gross.
I didn't catch that detail. It's crazy.
She's like, Taylor's so gross. I'm going to rip her a new one.
Yeah. And so at this point, we see Corinne and Josephine kind of teaming up, which is new. And from what we've seen, they look very natural together, just like
friends. Yeah,
yeah. They have a similar look,
aesthetic, if you will.
Yeah, and not a lot of blondes in the house because it's
as
not,
we know,
not Nick's thing. They're eating a lot of the appetizers, just really going to town.
I always find it charming when we actually get to see people eating.
It was amazing though, like how full Corinne's mouth was.
I loved it.
And she didn't seem to, like, I think Josephine reminded her to chew at one point.
What were the appetizers that they were eating? I couldn't even tell.
They were in their mouths too quickly.
Were they like bagel bite type things? I don't know.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah. If there were bagel bites there, I would have eaten like 100 of them too.
I mean, they looked delicious. But it was interesting because so far we haven't really seen anyone side with Corinne. But Josephine was really egging her on. She was saying, oh, yeah, Taylor is so stuck up. She's the worst. Like, I'll stand with you if
and
you
Corinne's like
get
Taylor's
her.
A fake-ass bitch who deserves to be called out.
Yeah, Josephine was like, they all talk shit about you, but you never talk shit about anyone.
She's like, yeah, I never talk shit about anyone. Like, that fake-ass bitch, Taylor.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Also, that line is just such an unnatural thing to say in real life and is such a perfect reality TV line about someone. It's just like,
which part?
She's a fake ass bitch who deserves to be called out.
I say that all the time. Yeah. Mostly about you, but I never do it.
But like not behind my back, just to my face.
You don't know what I've been saying behind your back, but you'll see when the reality show airs. So finally Corinne goes and confronts Taylor. She initiates the conversation. She sits down and is like, why are you such a huge bitch to me? You need to explain yourself. Tell me what your problem is. And
Taylor's like, you have no emotional intelligence.
And Corinne is like, I'm not an idiot. And Taylor's like, no, I'm not saying you're an idiot. Emotional intelligence is this specific
thing.
Except
she's like, I actually am saying you're kind of an idiot.
I mean,
they go around in circles, and you could tell that Taylor loses patience after a while. She's like, I'm over this.
Right. I feel like she's very, you know, she is a mental health counselor, so I feel like she's trying to be very calm in the way that she's speaking to Corinne, and that is only enraging Corinne more because she feels like she's being talked down to. Mm-hmm. They have very non-compatible forms of communicating.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that Taylor says.
I said non-compatible, incompatible.
Too late.
Forms of communicating. Yeah.
That's one of the things that Taylor says. You know, she says we're very different, and you can see that in this conversation right now.
Yeah.
And I really felt I understood why Corinne felt talked down to, but I'm still Team Taylor because Corinne initiated that conversation. And she was not actually open to it at all. So why did she initiate it? That really bothered me.
That's
like, if
so
you're
true.
Going to
that
initiate the conversation, then you have to be willing to have the conversation and not just talk
Corinne
people down.
Corinne thinks that all that you need to diffuse a conflict is to say you're open to people coming to you. But she doesn't quite grasp that there's another step, which is then grappling with whatever the issue is that people have with you.
And Taylor, right. Taylor like hit the nail on the head. She was like, it's emotional intelligence. It's really not a big deal. It's just something you need to work on. You're right. And then
yeah.
And Corinne wasn't willing to swallow that pill. So Corinne was like, I'm going to be really defensive and attack you instead and turn the tables and make you feel unintelligent. And she just made herself look worse.
Right. Because also Taylor is clearly very intelligent.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
not really a question.
Right.
Yeah. And Corinne points out that she runs a multimillion dollar company, which I believe less every time she says it.
Yeah.
There's also, no way she actually
ran
runs the company.
Company. You can't just leave for 3 months. Your father runs the company, and maybe one day you will, and that's cool. But we all know you don't run the company.
She's not privileged though. Yeah. Like, I just want to clarify.
Just to clarify, there's no privilege. Yeah. No.
She just runs a multimillion dollar company, and then she takes long vacations to go on reality TV, and she models a little bit, and she has a nanny.
And she gifts kernels of information, which we all thank her for.
Yeah, and kernels of her soul, really.
And of her boobs. Like, would you call those boobs immature?
Kind of kernels.
I would never call those immature. Those are the most mature boobs.
Mature breasts.
I've seen a lot of them.
I bet you have. You're in a house full of ladies.
Yes, a house full of women.
Well, Corinne literally can't even. To be continued.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to punch Taylor in the face. Dun, dun, dun. Next week on The Bachelor.
They're definitely getting the two-on-one.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be great.
They basically said they were getting the two-on-one. Yeah. They're like, next week, it's two against one. And I was like, okay.
Who do you think is going to stay, though?
Taylor.
I think Taylor's going to stay, too. Yeah, but Olivia today said that she thinks Corinne's going to stay.
Interesting.
Oh. Yeah. I kind of think Taylor's going to stay.
I know. Especially how he pulled her in by that fireside.
Yeah,
he's like her. Nick was like, let me warm you up. And she was like, okay, boo. Aww.
Yeah. I think at the end, if they weren't on the two-on-one, Corinne would get another week. But I kind of think that when push comes to shove, Nick knows what he actually wants at the end of the day. And I'm not sure it's Corinne.
I wonder if the hometown week is going to work against Corinne, because it was really hard for me, at least, to ignore seeing Raven with his parents, that it would have been impossible for him to bring Corinne on that date. And if they got engaged, he would have to bring her on that date.
There is no way that Nick's parents would be on board with a girl who has potentially a lower maturity level than Bella.
Yeah. That would – I mean, Bella definitely knows how to do her own laundry.
Yeah. Like, Bella can probably, like, run her own house. Like, she's fine. She's she's like, I'll go to soccer practice.
And that would be a bad dynamic because Corinne is used to other women doing her laundry. And if there's just, like, a nice 11-year-old around who knows how, God forbid, suddenly Bella is running the household while, you know, someone is feeding Corinne chicken tacos.
Also, a great life.
A little nugget at the end, Alexis –
we do not get enough of Alexis. This Corinne drama is taking away from the gem that is Alexis.
Alexis is the Michaela of this season. She is afraid of aliens.
She is.
What was the other – wait, there was something else she said she was afraid of, right?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. I need to meet Alexis.
Because of Face Off.
She's amazing.
A movie. A fictional movie.
Okay, Face Off is a terrible movie.
She's also afraid of ghosts, which is what initiated the conversation. But it's not one of the two things she's most afraid of. She's more afraid of Nicolas Cage.
Alexis, please, if you're listening to this, please come on our podcast. Kayla, if you ever meet Alexis, I need you to.
I will beam her over.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. She'll run away. She'll be terrified.
But I will beam her.
There's got to be at least one, you know, in every group of bachelorettes, one person who's capable of beaming people up to the mothership. All right. So next week, we're thinking probably 2-on-1. Any other predictions?
I'm thinking, I don't know. I think more Rachel.
I was just going to say, I feel like Rachel might get a 1-on-1.
Yeah.
We definitely see Rachel getting a 1-on-1 in the season-long teasers in a sort of Nordic location.
Which
I think.
Yeah. She was wearing like a parka.
Which makes me think also that she's going to be around for a while because they don't usually go that far away until a little further into the season.
I'm looking forward to that. People don't talk much about Rachel. I think she's still
I think she's going to be like a sleeper hit a little bit. Because we've seen her connect with Nick really well in the moments that we do have. But she's not a dramatic person. So she's not taking up a lot of camera time right now. But we have to remember, like, on Sean Lowe's season, you hardly even saw Catherine until they were already traveling.
Yeah.
So you never know.
A lot of dark horses this season.
Yes. But with literally dark mains.
Yes. Ooh, the main chick.
But I'm pumped. You could write the date cards, Kayla.
Thank you.
Seriously. Kayla's secretly
this is
the
your new
cards.
Yeah after yeah this is your new calling. You're like, put aside the blog, put aside your all of your other endeavors.
Writing date cards is a full time.
Then
job.
You know, take over for Chris Harrison.
I would totally do that.
Yeah, I would love that,
Chris.
All right, until next week. Thank you so
thank
much,
you so for, much
joining
for joining
us.
Thank you, Claire and Emma.
We always
so much
love having you.
This is great.
And now, welcome to Feminism Fails, where we rate the most cringeworthy anti-lady moments of the week on our very own patented Feminism Fail scale.
1. You do you, bro. 2. That's questionable. 3. Not cool, people. 4. The 1950s are back. 5. Gender equality is straight up dead.
And now it's time for Feminism Fails. First, Raven describes assaulting her ex with a stiletto after catching him cheating. I feel for her that trauma, but physical violence, still a big no-no, regardless of the situation. So let's give that one a 3.
Yeah, not okay just because of a cheating situation or because you're a lady. Still no
right,
hitting.
Still called assault.
And we only have one other feminism fail this week, but it was spread out pretty evenly throughout the episode. A lot more uncomfortable, slut-shamey attitude from the ladies this episode, which was sad. Keep focusing on Nick. We're going to give that a 3 as well.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Kayla Quinn, and our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, remember to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating.
5 stars. 5 stars.
And a glowing review. We love those. We're also on Facebook, so please like us. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily Rose. Or you can send us an email at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.